we'll be getting together a little earlier for fellowship hereafter. And just going to read to you here, and coming from Colossians, just another couple of chapters up, and looking really at the promises of God and called this year a holy whatever. And so familiar verses, I hope, in Colossians 3:12-17 and then 23 and 24. This is God's word. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Let's just pray for this now. Father, we just pray for you to come and speak to us through this passage, through this message. In Christ's name, amen. Most of you probably remember the Peanuts cartoons with Charles Schwartz. Remember the old Charlie Brown ones? And there's one in which Lucy, and she's just philosophizing, and Charlie Brown's listening. And so it goes, and Charlie Brown, she begins, life is a lot like a deck chair. Some place it to see where they've been, and some so they can see where they are at the present. Charlie sighs in the caption and says, I can't even get mine unfolded. Maybe that's how you sometimes feel. And as I asked you to reflect on earlier, but if you look at your life, does it have meaning and purpose? And even more specifically, if you would look in terms of what you do on a daily basis, how much of that really seems to have any sense of meaning? And it's something to really contemplate on. And Chuck Swindoll, in his book Simple Faith, and he tells the story of this one guy over at the Los Angeles International Airport, and very worried about missing his plane. No wristwatch, couldn't locate a clock, and so he hurried up and goes to this total stranger and just asks him, excuse me, could you please give me the time? Stranger smiles and says, sure, and then sits down in two large suitcases that he's carrying, looks at the watch on his wrist. It's exactly 5:09. The temperature outside is 73 degrees, and it's supposed to rain tonight. In London, the sky is clear and the temperature is 38 degrees Celsius. The barometer reading is 29.14 and falling. And let's see, in Singapore, the sun is shining brightly. Oh, by the way, the moon should be full tonight here in Los Angeles. And your watch tells you all that? Man interrupts. Oh, yes, and much more. You see, I invented this watch, and I can assure you there's no timepiece like it in the world. I want to buy that watch. I'll pay you $2,000 right now. No, it's not for sale, says the stranger as he reached down to pick up his suitcases. Wait, $4,000. I'll pay you $4,000 cash, offered the man, reaching for his wallet. No, I can't. You see, I plan to give it for my son for his 21st birthday. I invented for him to enjoy. Okay, listen, I'll give you $10,000 cash. I've got the money right here now. Stranger pauses. $10,000? Well, okay, it's yours for $10,000 even. Man was absolutely elated, pays the stranger, takes the watch, snaps it on his wrist with glee, and says thanks as he turns to leave. Wait, says the stranger. With a big smile, he hands the two heavy suitcases to the man and adds, don't forget the batteries. Some things, you know, maybe they're not as they seem, and it's often true, and we tend to think about meaning and purpose in our lives. And as we've been doing this over a couple of weeks, and want to really catch you up in terms of that, and or refresh you in terms of what we've been talking about in regard to that meaning and purpose. And I mentioned a quote, if you remember last week, one from Henry Thoreau, and in which it is the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And ask you the question to think about even then last week, and is life worth living? And the difference as we look in a sense of comparing the world's values to God in that sense of a general worldview where it assigns more and different things in terms of worth and in terms if you meet a certain criteria, perhaps in how you look and what the world will say is beautiful versus ugly, attractive versus unattractive, or in terms of certain things like wealth and all these different rather arbitrary standards which tend to give value to people. And contrasting that with a sense where God, as he is speaking to Samuel in terms of David there, but that God doesn't look at the outward appearance, God looking at the heart. And that each and every person having that sense of this great value or worth to him. God being more concerned with who we are than what we do, and his desire for us to be becoming more Christ-like. And that's really sort of a very quick catch-up in the last couple of weeks. And his desire really just to be working in us and that value that is there despite all those other really subjective standards of the world. But I know that it's easy to hear that God values the who, but it's often very difficult to truly believe it and to understand our sense of worth to him, and particularly apart from service and all that stuff and all those things that we do for him. Because often, even as believers, we place that sense of emphasis on Christian performance. And let me give you, for example, if a person is a missionary, evangelist, pastor, well, isn't that person doing more for God? Doesn't that person have more worth in the eyes of God? Just think about that for a moment, because isn't that often what we tend to believe? That, you know, obviously the missionary, the evangelist, the pastor, other Christian workers, that they've made this greater commitment, they've sacrificed more, they're doing greater kingdom work and bringing people to Christ, teaching people, and they're living and serving God more than I am, right? That's often a sense of what we probably believe from the time that we are young as believers. Because those people have been called by God, and again, speaking in that very general sense for most believers, they're called by God and I am just doing an ordinary job. Nothing spiritual about it, just the regular, common, ordinary job. And so in our minds, often as we look at it, and you can imagine someone like Billy Graham back when he was alive, well, he's kind of way up here in terms of what he did for God. You know, as I might look at him, he's kind of up here, and, you know, other people's service, and then you know how it fits on down. Mother Teresa, same thing when she was alive. You know, way up here in terms of all that she was doing for God. And you got Charles Stanley's, Anlie Stanley's, Chuck Swindoll's, David Jeremiah's, John Piper's, John MacArthur's, David Platt's, Francis Chan's, whoever you might ever read, listen to, read books, these people who really seem that their whole life of full-time ministry is committed to God, well, in some ways, they're way up here in terms of that worth or value. And as to ordinary people, regular working folks, people with normal jobs, well, in our minds, again, as most people would think, even as believers, well, it's kind of different, right? Maybe lower down here, not doing as much for the kingdom, no special calling, and their lives obviously aren't going to have that same sense of meaning and purpose. And just think on that. I mean, because isn't that what we often tend to think, even from perhaps a very early age as Christians? There's certain Christian jobs and there's regular jobs. And I'm not trying to diminish anything that those people do or have done or all that service throughout the years for sure in terms of that. But isn't this passage teaching that whatever we do has significance if we do it for God? I mean, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, and it's one even as we've looked over the years, but it's one that I love to reflect on in terms of what that means, because it's a sense of passage that can somehow bring a sense of worthiness, a sense of holiness to even the very mundane things of life. If we could only incorporate into everything we do, apply it to all those things we say, whatever we do in word or deed, that we're doing it for Him. Because I've been thinking, as we've been looking at this topic of meaning and purpose, that, again, isn't it where we look at all those people I mentioned earlier, those people with these kingdom service roles, and we can look at those people and think, well, they have a greater sense of purpose or meaning in their lives. Because their careers are of direct service to God and the kingdom. And so obviously there's got to be more meaning, and they're going to feel that sense of meaning every day as they go and they serve. I mean, isn't that what we often tend to look and believe as Christians? I mean, how would you look at that? Any different in terms of that? I mean, that's our sense in regard to it. I know that for most believers that it gets very difficult in the day-to-dayness of regular life to see any sense of meaning and purpose, especially as we compare it to what we would believe that these people are experiencing. I mean, we can look at some jobs, careers, roles, more meaning because those are God's choice. We have it in Scripture, right? Pastor, evangelist, missionary, kingdom difference, and then rest of jobs that have just happened to go along with the rest of life here. That we do if we don't get the call to something spiritual. And then we will, whatever, right? Teach, farm, drive truck, be a nurse, run a business, construction, fast food worker, whatever it might be. So on with all of these less spiritual jobs. Maybe I'm the only one from the other side when you're growing up that's sensed, thought that, or ever felt that, but I guess not, that that's how we look. And so my most thoughts is we have if meaning and purpose, if I could only be doing more things for God, or maybe sometime down the road, then all of a sudden my life would be filled with a greater sense of significance in terms of this. And so most of us and people in the real world, daily grind and these less spiritual jobs, quote unquote, I mean, that's often what we tend to believe. And in our minds, there's a sense of that holy work and there's regular work. God work, regular duty stuff we do to survive. And it's the same as we look even to often most aspects of life, right? That there's holy task and there's the rest of life and the not so holy stuff. And we tend to compartmentalize our lives in the sense that we look at all these Christian things and regular things. You know, I go to church and all that I do in church, well, that's kind of a holy thing. And that's a God thing. I go to school, I go to work, and that's just a part of my regular life. I pray, worship, that's holy. That's, again, a God thing. And, you know, other aspects, fun, sport, whatever we might do, that's part of just regular life. Read my Bible, listen to Christian music, holy, God thing. I read some other kind of book or magazine, and that's just regular life. And again, that most somehow in our minds, we have these two senses of who we are and different roles, and this is me as a Christian, and this is me just functioning in the regular world and all those things that I will have to do. And that we somehow get our whole Christian faith just put in those two compartments. And so for the most part, as we look at life in the sense of purpose or meaning, a lot of it doesn't seem to fit into this holy God things that we have in our mind. So a lot of those sense are just life and regular things that we kind of do and another day of life in the quest for survival. You know, get up, shower, eat, work, bathroom break, eat again, rest a bit, go to sleep, and do it all again tomorrow. Just to make a living, just to take care of family, as it would be. And it gets difficult to really see a sense of much meaning or purpose in that. Other than we know that we are doing it to take care of our families. And perhaps, you know, for younger people in school, a basic summer job, what it can be, that's all just stuff we do as we prepare for something more meaningful in our lives. And that's often the hope. And I can think back to the same thing as a young person and how you're weighing these out. There's that sense of, well, this, if I could only do that, then there's going to be some meaning or purpose. But for most of us, it's going to be regular life. Or, you know, maybe by chance we will meet someone, fall in love there, and life will now have a little more meaning, right? Two of us together. And well, maybe that doesn't turn out all that I hoped it to be. Well, maybe then we'll have kids and now life's going to have a sense of greater purpose. Or maybe if we just had a better living or a bigger house or nicer car, then somehow life is going to feel a little more sense of fulfillment or meaning and all that really goes with that. And isn't that the endless quest in most of the world? Somehow they're just over that next hill, there's something there, a distant horizon, and just down the road that there's going to be some kind of a person that comes into my life or something that comes into my life, and finally life is going to have a greater sense of more meaning, more purpose, more value, more worth, more just that sense of something there. And that's really that quiet desperation that Thoreau was speaking of. You kind of just go and it's the hamster on the treadmill running and running, and you hope that someday there's going to be something that's going to bring some sense of significance in terms of that. And I'm saying all of this in terms of to say that somehow from Scripture that we have got that wrong. And often even as believers that same sense that if we could just be doing something more and holy, then our lives would have more meaning. We can think in terms of missions or just helping with all those things or just different tasks, be it a church and all those that go together. That if only that was a bigger part of my life, then I know I'm going to feel a greater sense of that meaning. And there will be a greater sense of just that purpose to it. But this passage is really saying here that it's not the task that needs to change as much as it is our thought about the task. Because holiness, in a sense, isn't about the task, but it's in the attitude toward the task. And we don't want to minimize a sense of that where, you can become, what's some movie way back, was it maybe The Incredibles, but if everything is special, then nothing is special. So that if everything is holy, then nothing is holy. We're not trying to do that for sure as you listen here as we go on in terms of that. But there's a change here in speaking as to the whatever you do, whether in word or deed, which encompasses a lot of things, that we do it unto Him, that we do it because of Him, and that's what makes all that we do holy. And holiness, as I said over the years, means set apart, and set apart for its intended purpose. So that if something is holy, it's doing the purpose that it was designed to do. So if I am doing what I was created to do, designed to do by God with the purpose of doing it for Him, well, the essence of that is it's set apart, that's something consecrated to Him, that is something that is holy. And there's a difference then in terms of breaking my life as a believer into two compartments, two separate aspects of life, two me's, Christian me, regular me. Because in essence, this is saying in terms of the context of this passage and speaking about holiness, character and action, is it taking all that we are, all who we are, and saying that we are doing it for Him. But if we're God's child, His sons, His daughters, and we're doing everything that we do for Him, it adds that sense of being consecrated and holy to Him. And if we're doing everything that we do for Him, then everything we do is important and has a sense of meaning and purpose in our lives. And there's a different sense of how we look at that day-by-day life. And author Robert Fulghum, and there's a couple of books I have. One's called It Was a Fire When I Lay Down on It. And he tells this little story. He says, there is a story that when the famed English architect, Sir Christopher Wren, was directing the building of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, some of the workers were interviewed by a journalist who asked them, "What are you doing here?" The first said, "I'm cutting stone for 3 shillings a day." Second replied, "I'm putting 10 hours a day in on this job." The third replied, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build the greatest cathedral in Great Britain for the glory of God." It's a big difference, right? In terms of what needs to really change, it's not so much in the task as to our way of thinking. And if you remember, last week I was mentioning a man by the name of Viktor Frankl, and one who had become an author after he survived the Holocaust and living in the death camps there and reflected on all that, and as he saw there and a sense of people just grasping and hope for some sense of hope and sense of meaning to their lives. And one of his books after he wrote this, that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. You know, somehow in a sense where if I can change my way of thinking, my attitude and how I see these things, that whatever they might be, if I understand that I'm doing these for Him, then that is a part of God's purpose and meaning in my life, whatever the task might be. It's a part of life in His kingdom as a believer. And seeing my circumstances in life as a part of what God is doing in me and for me, and looking as that builds into my life and as He will work through me. And so there's great meaning and purpose in even those basic things of life and all that dailiness, because if I can somehow do that and know that in my mind, that encompasses so much of those tasks and those duties that often seem to just be very mundane, seeming purposeless tasks in terms of it. And then all of a sudden my days are filled with a greater sense of meaning and purpose. And you know, I'm no different than you in terms of all this. And other than maybe sometimes my two compartments might have different boundaries, because then pastor stuff can seem a little more meaningful and kingdom worth. And then there's all the regular day-to-day stuff, right? Fixing things and doing things at home and all that goes with that. And you know, it's easy to think, well, the one part, that pastor me, that has significant purpose, and all those other things, well, you just do those things just because we got to do those things. In the same way that they feel like no spiritual value, just those things that we have to do as part of life. And you know, if I'm fixing a vehicle or doing some other task, you know, at home, it doesn't feel holy, and depending on how it's going, it maybe doesn't sound holy, at least in my mind or something there. But if I'm helping someone else to fix a vehicle or do whatever, some kind of job, well, that's all of a sudden more holy, more meaningful, because it's serving or it's showing kindness, brotherly sister kindness, as we have in Scripture. And right, I mean, there's a sense of more meaning to that. If I'm mowing my own yard, that just needed drudgery because the lousy stuff grows so fast. But if I'm mowing the church yard, well, that's for the church, so that's way better. That's some holy mowing. Right? I mean, isn't that a sense of how we can look in terms of all those things? And maybe we're helping more kindness, but this is speaking to something different in terms of that way of thinking. Our attitude as to our and thoughts and actions has to really change and align with what Scripture is telling us. That in all that we do, whether in word or deed, whatever it might be, all that that is that we would somehow be doing it for Him. And that's what really makes things set apart and makes things to be holy, because we know this is a part of what God has in store for our days. That today, these things, and however much I might look at these tasks of the days, that those are a part of what He's given, that are building into my life and doing things that maybe are bigger, broader than all that I can ever see in terms of what God's accomplishing. Maybe in terms of growth and patience and kindness and all these things, but somehow that those even smallest tasks are continuing to build into those aspects of life. So then when we look at our daily tasks and school and work and at home, they begin to take on a new sense of significance, because this is what God has given to me for this day of life. And somehow in the midst of that, that I can see His sense of purpose or significance and find reward in really doing it for Him. An author by the name of C. Reuben Anderson, and he talks of this old legend of this benevolent king, and he had his men place this great heavy stone on this roadway, which was one that all his subjects would really have to travel by, and then he hid himself to see who would try to remove the stone. But all really just worked their way around it, and they would just loudly blame and curse the king for not keeping the roadway clear. And finally, a poor peasant farmer, as he tells the story, on his way to town with a load of vegetables that he's hoping to sell in the marketplace, and comes to this blocked roadway, lays down his load, and with lots of effort and time that's wasted, lost there, he manages to move this great stone to the side of the roadway. As he turns to leave, he spies this little purse that's being placed under the stone and opens it to find it's being filled with all these pieces of gold and a note from the king indicating that it was to be the property of the one who would remove the stone. There's a sense that, you know, that speaks, isn't that the aspect of all these stones? We look at life and all these different things. Isn't that something of more what God is doing in us? Even from these very mundane things, as they build into our character and as they shape who we are, this is a part of God's hand as he looks to mold us and to be able to shape our lives and to be able to use us in terms of kingdom purpose. So it's not as we just look to the distance and all these things and all these maybe tasks we might, but as looking to a lot of these things that we do in life, that there's a sense of significance because this is a part of where God has me and what God's doing as he continues to work in my life and to shape me. In terms, as we talked in last week, about becoming and who I am in him, it's to look, as you could imagine, in terms of Jesus himself doing those regular aspects as a carpenter and going. But there was significance because that's a part of all that the Father had for him as he came to earth and lived and knew what it was to be a human. First and foremost, again, in all this, need to know him as child, and then as his child living for him, that my days belong to him, and that all those things of the day, that all that he's purposed for me to do that day, that they're all part of those tasks of something greater that he is doing in me or through me. However mundane the task might seem to be, that it's holy, it's set apart, it has eternal significance if I'm doing it because that's a part of this life that I live for him. So we can look, you know, whether whatever work or mowing or cooking or cleaning or fixing, isn't it if that's a task that he has in mind for me that day, that's something that is purposeful, that has meaning, and if I am accomplishing it, it's what he wants me to do for him. And I just think even of those words, I mean, wouldn't that bring change to all that we do if somehow our attitude could align with those thoughts? Because all of a sudden, everything has some value, even those interruptions and problems and things that continually come up in life, that if we can see them as a part of something bigger that God is doing in us and through us, then our days will seem purposeful. And in my life will sense, your life, all of our lives have more meaning, and instead of just that hope, that looking over the next thing that might come along, that somehow one day there might be more meaning, but now I'm just caught up in endless survival and going through all this routine. There's really a different sense for it as we really look through Scripture and speak, and we see that through Scripture, and as we'll look even in next week in more passages there. But there's that sense of giving daily significance to everything that we will do. And I'm again trying to paint this picture that every little task, you know, I brush my teeth, but there's whatever it might be, there's a sense of something deeper that speaks about even these regular aspects of life, that if in our minds we're doing these things for him, that they have significance and purpose or meaning. And it doesn't have to be where we live like the masses of men and just that sense of desperation for meaning or purpose. Because God has designed that each and every one of us believers, as his people, are growing and becoming who he wants to be. And it's often through all those things that we are going through in life. From the struggles, the difficulties, to all those great things that they piece in and different events of life, that it's a part of that continual shaping that he's doing in each and every one. If only somehow I can align my attitude with him. And I love what these couple of believers wrote about how they saw the change as they became believers. And you'll know the name Jim Elliot and husband Elizabeth, who you know for a lot of writing. You see her name probably on different quotes on the back of the bulletin over the years. But he was the young man, I think we got the video in back there, but taking the gospel to the Amazonian tribe as pilots there, and who had their lives snuffed out at a very young age there. But before that, he had wrote this to his wife, and this is what he said. Annie Carmichael writes of the little joys like flowers springing up by the path unnoticed except by those who are looking for them. Little things like a quietly sinking sun, a friendly dog, a ready smile. We sang a little song in kindergarten, which I've never forgotten. The world is so full of a number of things, I'm sure we should all be as happy as kings. Simple, but such a devastating rebuke to the complaining heart. I'm impressed with the joy that is ours in Christ, so that heaven above and earth below become brighter and fairer. British actress Joan Wendell Brown once wrote, years ago John Ruskin, the English critic, wrote, I would sooner live in a cottage and wonder at everything than live in a castle and wonder at nothing. I have often thought of the statement that H.G. Wells made before his death, that his soul was no longer moved by the sight of the stars in the sky. The truth is, I cannot express to you all the wonder and joy that I have in my heart through Christ. And I read those, and it reminds you, if you ever have seen the movie Way Back, and some of those stories about St. Francis of Assisi, and you're leaving from the son of a wealthy merchant and all that was there for him to go and to live as this monk and to serve. But the sense of the gratitude, if you've read or learned about him and that he found in just the general world around him as his eyes were opened to something different. Well, that's somehow in a sense where we need to see this world and things of the world and the things we do in a greater sense of God in them. And a change of attitude in terms of what we do, that we see things differently, that's because of Christ, and that I'm a child of God, and because of that, that the world looks more beautiful. And that I'm his child, and my days have meaning because of that. And whatever I'm doing, that all these things, if I'm doing it for him, that, and I trust that he has given these things to me for that day, that they are things that I need to do for him. And that because of that, that these things are holy and they're set apart for him because they're a part of his plan for my life this day. And that's, in a sense, where a greater sense of purpose and meaning for our lives is found in terms of that. And Henry Dyer once wrote that God is great in great things, but very great in little things. And that's my prayers. You know, God helps us to see that and know that in each of those days where we're just going through all the dailiness of it and just doing the things of life, that we would somehow find greater significance because that's a part of what he's doing in us. And we can just somehow have that sense of change in attitude and not waiting for purpose and meaning, but knowing that we have purpose and meaning. We just need to see it as God sees it, and this is important in terms of that. And I remember years back in school, and I'd always done well, but there was a sense of, I don't know, you put it, laziness at times in terms of it, because I could know things fast, do them, and so it would come time for a book and you had to do it, you would read it and it would be skim, you know, cover, enough just to get the essence, or back, if you remember, Cole's notes and things like that. A few other people nodding, you used them. Well, it was a very easy shortcut, and so even at the university, it was the same, you know. I could just do what I needed to do to get it down, cram it in there quick, and that was the sense, and done. And if I got a, you know, good grade, that was the only goal in all this. And I remember a change that came along as I, after realized more sense of God's grace and what he was doing in my life, and I was still at that time going and doing some other courses to look to do teaching there, and just things like biology and the rest, and genetics, and a sense of those things that might have fit into that category, just get these done because down the road there's something more meaningful God has in mind. So read the book, cram it, get the paper done, that's all. But as I began to think, well, where would I find and see God in this? It was a sense where I actually began just to read through it all and to think, well, if this is something that God's brought and thinks I need to do, then somehow can't I find worth in that? And so some of these very tedious things that I would have otherwise, you know, just gone through for the sense of a good grade, I began to read and to find a greater significance. And it was amazing how that changed my attitude towards school and the rest of that. It wasn't just, grunting it out because when this was done, you could move on to that and the next and that year and finally done school and I could start with some meaning and purpose. And then, you know, that changes obviously after, because then we start working and resting. We think, how great those days of school, if I could just go back. But it's always that sense, you know, we realize that whatever God's given us, if we can be finding and seeing him in the midst of this, then it'll have greater significance. And as I mentioned, pick it up from here next week and Yes, again, one more time. Some other passage in terms of that, but as we think about that and the need for that change of thoughts in what we do, whether in word or deed, that we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because somehow in so doing that our days will be filled with that meaning and purpose, because we know and trust that the things of the day belong to him. And so it's not whatever we do is holy, but there's that sense of this holy whatever as we make them a part of things in our lives that are done for him. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can even just reflect on this passage here, and as even in the couple of weeks as we've been looking at a sense of meaning and purpose, and help us to realize that it's not just that sense of eternal waiting for that meaning and purpose to come, but where you have purpose for us to have a daily sense of meaning in our lives. Because as we can look at all those different things and tasks of the day, that those are a part of what you're doing and where you have us and how you're shaping us. And through some of these even just mundane things and some of these things of just struggles, through some of these just different times, that those are a part as they feed into all that you are doing as you mold us. That as we've talked about how it's so much more of who we are than what we are and what we are doing, that it's a realization that who we are is becoming more like Christ, and that even all these daily things feed into that as we are growing in you, as you look to continue to shape us. So remind us of that truth and continue just to encourage us in that, and that we would find that meaning and purpose. And for this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.